Islands. This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 17th of August, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And we're going to open the show with a word about the new Employment Incentive Program. Did you know that VAT-registered businesses who are tax compliant are eligible to participate in the government's Employment Incentive Program and can receive up to $400 per week in tax credit for up to 10 new full-time employees? Visit atlas.revenue.gov.bs to apply. The offer is valid from July to December the 31st, 2021. This message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Well, good yawning this morning. We got a lot to talk about, so let me start off by giving you all of the ways that you could join this conversation. Remember, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed and watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Powered by BTC and standard text rates apply. You can call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. But if you do call or you text in, remember, please remember this. We don't need to agree on everything, but we need to be respectful to each other. Let me repeat that. We don't need to agree on everything, but we need to be respectful to each other. And I implore you, I beg you, if you're going to call my show, and I don't have a problem with you calling my show and expressing your opinion, you must be respectful to the guests that I have. Even if it is a contentious issue that we are discussing, even if it is somebody who you don't like, you still got to figure out how in your heart you're going to express your position or your opinion without being rude and disrespectful. And that's all I ask for you. People call here and call me Mr. Green. People text and call me Mr. Green. I don't run hard on them. Right? The boy called yesterday and say, my show is the boringest. No, the second most boring. Right? The second most boringest out there. I didn't run hard on your boy. He paid his 6 cents. I read the text. We have to learn to engage each other respectfully, especially when we don't agree with each other. And we see this even more now with the pandemic and a discussion around vaccinations and the treatment of people and the restriction of rights and who is responsible for what. And again, I implore us, I beg us to reconsider the way that we have decided we are going to treat people. This is unfair. It is unnecessary. In fact, let me tell you what I mean when I say it is unfair. Your children deserve more. Your children deserve an environment where they could make healthier and better decisions. They need to be in an environment where they're not afraid to disagree. They're not afraid to not be a part of the crowd. That they're not afraid that they're going to be ostracized and marginalized and deprived. You know, them things that the preamble of our Constitution point out. They are afraid. And they rather go run and be a part of some other man's country than to stay here in their own country and be different. It's like we think we could own everything, including how people feel. So let me extend this to the vaccination conversation. We are all going to die, each and every one of us. We are going to die. It is a hard truth. It is a difficult truth that it seems we have decided that we will ignore until we can ignore it no longer. But we are all going to die at some point. And it is our duty to each other to ensure best as possible that we can die with dignity. And that's it. That's it. That you and I, that we can die with dignity. So when people tell you they disagree with the vaccine, they disagree with vaccinations, they don't want to take it, and you look at them and say, well, you're gonna die then. Just know that that is promised to all of us, including you. And that our duty is to ensure that we all can die with dignity. We're going to talk a little bit more about that contentious conversation yesterday, or at least about some of the issues. Oh, because there are lots of issues stemming from that. But before we get into the show, it is August, and I didn't know that 75% of the Bahamian population is born in August. It is like 175 people on my Facebook friends list over the last 2 weeks born in August. And I have to say that I am remiss. I missed a very important birthday on Friday the 13th of August because I was scared to even call the number Friday the 13th. I'm a little superstitious. I'll admit that. You know, like every time Minister D'Aguila says something, I'm certain the opposite is going to happen. Like, I'm superstitious like that. Right? And so it completely passed me. So I want to say good morning and belated happy birthday to a dear colleague and friend, a dear friend, Taitu Heron from Jamaica, a women's rights advocate and a warrior of a woman, a member, a founding member of the Tambourine Army in Jamaica. I want to say happy birthday, belated birthday. Oh, no, happy birthday today to Sakani Nash and belated birthday to Warren McCartney yesterday. And happy birthday to Terry Johnson and Samira Johnson and the great Jason Evans, artist Javan. And the list, when I tell y'all, the list goes on to Kim Gilbert Wilson, to Maria Govan, our Bahamian filmmaker, to Nari Strawn, to my colleague Donovan Banal in Suriname. To Rhonda Seymour, my cousin, I hope one of y'all making cake this weekend. To another Guardian colleague, Hubert Edwards. It's just, the list goes on. I can't call off all the names right now. Oh, and to Deborah Deal and her daughter. Deborah Deal is also a Leo. I want to say happy birthday. I think your birthday is coming up in a couple of days. Happy, happy birthday. So while we talk a bit about death, we remember that death and life are packaged together and we must celebrate both, and we must come to terms with both. So I want to say good morning and happy birthday, happy belated birthday, and happy birthday to come to the whole Leo and August crew. Arlington, I see we got a call on the line. Let's take this call and then maybe go to a break. Caller. Arlington. Let's see. Producer, busy waking. Good morning, caller. Oh, I'm sorry we miss you, caller. I hope you was calling to tell somebody happy birthday. See, I got a text there. Aaron, when you say children growing up not afraid of being persecuted for their opinions, you mean like what the LGBT did to the baby for speaking his opinion? You know, that's a great text. In fact, I am organizing a show about this thing called cancel culture, right? Where the baby says something about gay people and we get up and we decide we're going to cancel him because we don't like that. Because it's very interesting. I want to hear from some young people, some what we call millennials. I want to hear from some older people. I want to talk about how cancel culture operates in our society, right? Because I don't know if we apply cancel culture to the politics, and maybe we should. Now, this thing about canceling the baby for speaking his opinion, right? Yeah, I don't know if the baby should have been canceled treated in the way that he was. I think that we could have addressed the statements that he made, right? We could have addressed the statements that he made without an attempt to silence him, because silencing people is dangerous. And you see the opinion, the example that you use, people try to do the same thing to me, cuz. So I feel you. We need to interrogate this cancel culture if it's absolutely necessary. And oh, happy birthday to Jetta Roll. Well, happy birthday, Jetta. Another text says, hi, Aaron, you really preaching today. Hebrew 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Well, I thank you for that text. You know, and it is a universal message, right? When, like, the Pope and Desmond Tutu and these what we call wise men, you know, when they say things like, you know, even people who've never read the Bible can meet God, right, and can be accepted into the fold. It's one of those universal principles that you didn't even have to be introduced to Christianity to get a sense of. And we do, particularly for our young people, need to create a culture of appreciation for the wholeness of life, life and death. We need to get back to respecting and revering death as a natural part of our lives, taking the fear out of it, or at the very least, creating spaces where our young people can be less afraid of death and more prepared for life. Arlington, I see we've got another caller on the clock. Caller. Arlington, let's go to the break. When we get back from, maybe they pop right back up. Caller, you're on the clock. Oh, man, BTC, I don't know what's happening today. We will figure this out. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what's in the news. To bridge or not to bridge? Or what about a causeway in North Eleuthera? We'll be right back after the break.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock, the top, 4-2. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Knock it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You are on the clock with Erin Green. I see you got this caller coming in, so I'm going to pause for the cause. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Hey, morning, Erin. How you doing this morning?
I am good, thank you. This is DeWitt, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Morning, blessings. How you doing? Brethren. Good, good.
What's going on, sister?
Everything is good.
Great, great, great. We all say, you know, we all get in a rage at times, but at the end of the day, it's all good.
Yeah, man.
It's still love.
Yeah, man.
I will never diss you or diss your radio talk show.
Yeah, man,
or
absolutely.
Diss your guesses. You know, I just voice my opinion.
Yeah, man.
But Ms. Green, we have a problem in this country that needs attention like ASAP from every person. I'm talking about, in particular, the government.
Mm-hmm.
We have persons in this country who family members are literally dying when you carry them to PMH just for service. I respect the nurses are burned out. I respect that nurses. And I cool with some of y'all. I have family members are nurses. I have a particular family members and sister. I understand that. But I encourage y'all as people with love, you know, health care. When you speak about care, that's love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we understand some of y'all didn't get your money. We understand your condition. I understand. At least I understand it. But I want y'all to understand those persons who come to y'all for service, they come to y'all because y'all are the last resort. Y'all are the persons that they feel that they can put their trust in. You know, they can put their love in. And nurses, I know your job is stressful. I know it's hectic, but it still comes down to love. Help those people. Do not allow those people to be sitting in our wheelchairs, gasping for bread, and you can't help them. And last but not least, when you have family members bring people to PMH in particular, please, nurses, please show some sort of love in your voice, the way that you answer people, the way that you conduct yourself, because people who, y'all are already frustrated. And if someone comes there with a family member in a position or in a condition, it brings on more frustration. Then in some cases, it ends up in altercation. But we don't want that. We want everybody in this time, in particular nurses and doctors, to show love. The people in the morgue, I understand that. The people inside the blood lab, the x-ray, whatever, even the persons who clean the floor in the hospital, please, in the name of Jesus, show love. You have a good day, Erin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, DeWitt. Now, I can say DeWitt. I know you hung up. I didn't expect you to hang up that quickly. I got a texter who's mad at me for taking your call without making you apologize, right? And I'm going to take this space to say to that texter, yesterday I felt like I reamed them. I felt like I was harsh in my response to them after I cut him, and I think I would have cut Sparky. But I think the point is made, and I can make it again. I know that this particular issue is a hot-button issue, right? It's a heated issue, the migrant discussion, particularly the Haitian migrant discussion. And so what I want to do is create a space where we are willing to talk to each other and we are willing to be admonished or moderated, right? Like, we're not just going to hang up the phone and run away because somebody said, hey, I think you need to reframe that, or I think you need to moderate your tone because it's coming across as disrespectful. At this point, because at the same time, a lot of Bahamian citizens feel like their voices aren't being heard. In the process of governance, where there should be a mechanism or mechanisms to ensure that their voices are being heard as a part of the process of governance. And so when we look at this question of vaccine hesitancy, it's important to point out that a part of the hesitancy is about a lack of trust in government and government systems and government actors. And if we look at today's paper and yesterday's paper alone, we could see why. Let me get to the phone line. Caller, you on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good, you know.
Good, good.
But thank God for yet another day.
Yes, sir.
And no matter what, we know that he's going to take us through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about this morning's headline and yesterday,
mm-hmm.
You know, for the fifth time now, our Minister of Health should have resigned from 5 times ago. Okay, because this thing is being prolonged. We've got Dwayne Sands on all talk shows, and he's telling us stuff about medical health.
Mm-hmm.
While the Minister of Health is fighting battles, there's some who's got this and who's got that. This same minister came from another government as a minister, and he had another controversy.
Yes.
Okay, I would hate to go back, right? But then it says something about this minister, okay? And then yet, with all his problems and stuff like that, he comes to our gate and asks us to vote for him again. You know, how much of a fool you think I am, okay? How low you think I am? Am I a low fence that you could just cross over? I like lackadaisical performance, non-productive, or excuses? Oh, no. Uh-uh. And also, too, even money's... like how he had to change his mind and taken back the money. Okay, well, you did that. Then why don't you cut your salary? Okay, why don't the stipends that you give your wife when you go away to spend that money, cut all of that back. Okay, and make up for it. Okay,
yes.
Then we'd understand that you're serious. Okay, let's see some works. Okay, faith without works is dead.
Absolutely.
Okay, and you keep the pressure on, and to God be the glory.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great day. And it's a question that I myself had to ask. Isn't the minister supposed to be the final oversight? Shouldn't he have sat down and gone through that list to ensure?
Hello.
Good morning. You're on the clock.
Hi, Mrs. Wayne. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I just want to say, in fact, would anyone say, I think you have a wonderful show. I always enjoy it. And I just want you to keep up the good work. You're the best.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
And I think everybody should have that same mind. You have a wonderful show.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Absolutely. And don't mind them people, you know. They just want to be a part of the vibe. You know? But we take that contention. We let people... join in, because ultimately that's what we want. We want people to feel more comfortable participating in the process of governance. We want people to not be afraid to share their opinion, but learn how to share their opinion in a way that is effective and helpful, right?
Let me tell you something. Your show has laughter. Your show has drama. Your show has everything that a person would love to listen to, because, like I said before, I have friends who listen to you, too.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you have half of the Bahamas, or even 75% of the Bahamas listening to you right now.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. So you take care.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. Let's get to that second caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes. Good morning to all.
Good morning.
Yes. You know, we often talk about not trusting the government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about not trusting the media? You know, we have media that's calling for politicians to debate, but they themselves don't want to debate. You know, I'm sure you're aware of the talk show hosts in the UK. These
mm-hmm.
people have debates. You see, there's never debate. You if you call a talk show and they disagree with your sentiments, they cut you off. You see, and that's not right. You know, I feel like, okay, like for instance, you have economists or people people that have some knowledge of economics and building companies and things. They would say, "Oh, the government lack leadership because look at the way this sentiments from the CEO or someone that's speaking about companies. Companies must not like the government. Companies deal with the private profit, not the public good. You see, so we gotta give our governments a break and hold our governments a public good, not the same standard you would hold a private corporation or private individual for." Thank you.
Absolutely, those are some very good points.
We get his interest with this issue with the livable wage. Come on, we will never get to it because it always the corporations always get involved. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The media never picks it up. You know they're not interested in it. You know they can't walk and chew at the same time. Seems like they're all about politics. You know, bringing another government to power or taking one out of power. You know, we need to get to the issues in this country, the socialist issues in this country predominantly. Anyway, thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I believe you. We focus too much on politics and not on governance. In fact, the governance has gotten lost in the mix. And, you know, another point that you made about putting too much pressure on the government, the truth is that our society is not preparing people for leadership or governance, right? Like you say, in Britain, in more developed nations or in larger nations, you will see a more robust or vigorous discourse or debate in the public airwaves with professionals across the board coming to join a public discussion, right? But let me tell you what the importance of that is. The importance of that is you need those types of public discussions so people could hear them and get a sense of the language and the discussion at that level of professionalism or industry or business so they can begin to model the language and understand the way that people speak, why they speak that way, right? What is the purpose of using this language in this space? So they are better able to navigate those spaces and understand those spaces. Young people deserve to have a safe access to public conversations and adult conversations so that they can learn how the world works properly, right? But if all we're having is sort of empty, trite, meaningless, or uninformed conversations, or if we just what they call a corner talk or barroom talk, then young people don't really get an opportunity to expand their language, their critical thinking, their thought, and they're at a disadvantage to other young people that live in societies where that happens more often. So I got another text here. Hi, do you know we had leprosy in the Bahamas? There was a special place on the island they were kept. Can the government create a space outside PMH to treat people with non-COVID issues? Well, to be honest with you, at this point, many people thought there would have been an expansion of care facilities, and we would have ensured that at the very least, we had separate standalone structures to house COVID and suspected COVID patients. And there were three, right? One for not sure, one for definitely, and one for not COVID patients, so that we could ensure that in the midst of a respiratory pandemic, that people weren't contracting COVID through the air system, the air conditioning system. And this is one of the things that people are upset about. Why have we seen no substantive, no real solid moves to increase the care facilities? Texas just tuned in. People, especially the so-called authorities, keep saying people have to be educated. Is it not a possibility that a lot of people understand but simply disagree or just don't trust them or the vaccines? Are they seriously that ignorant or are they caping to not publicly acknowledge these possibilities. Sad. I think the text is saying that in response to vaccine hesitancy, the response has been, well, people, we need more education, we need more education. And the text is saying, it could it be that people understand and just don't agree with the science, or don't agree with the politics, or don't agree with the policy, which are three separate things, my people. Another text, what does DeWitt have to say sorry for to... let's see. Ooh. Morning, Aaron. Your show yesterday, the guy named DeWitt never cuss. I like how he talks. Not like some other people who call or text. And I don't know him, but I like how he brings his words. Aaron, leave DeWitt. He is the only PLP that calls a talk show that I check or tune into. Not like Anton and Dave. Keep up the good works. Miss Green, real talk shows let people talk. I respect the person has to be respectful, but people has its own opinions. What does DeWitt have to say sorry for? To the texter, Aaron, as you spoke his mind. It's, well, dear texter, Luby George is a human rights advocate and a Haitian Bahamian migrant activist, right? And a lot of people focus their frustration with a multi-generational, multinational issue on one person who is an advocate for that issue, right? And that can be overwhelming as one person taking the brunt of frustration that's aimed at a whole system. And that's what I mean when I say being respectful. Another text, good morning, Aaron. Please tell me, where do I apply to be a driver for Renwood Wells? Because I could use a $1,500 honorarium right now. He must drive him real good. I wonder if you get an honorarium for like parking properly in the blue plates and not running stop signs and red lights or using your phone while you're driving, but we would never know because you have them super dark tints. Another text, hello, Aaron. Please allow a second to make an appeal to Dr. Sands to find Loretta and Reese Chipman and try to save the FNM from Wells and Minnis. If that party is going to survive, because those two are bound together and the party will be punished as the PLP was because of Mr. Christie, full stop. The COI looks so good compared to this disaster of an administration, it ain't funny. People literally dying because of the decisions Ernie and Bert, first of all, Ernie and Bert are beloved Sesame Street characters, are making out here. Dr. Sands, please step up. Wow, that's a heavy appeal. Arlington, I'm going to read through a couple more of these texts and then we're going to go to a break. And then I'm going to bring some more information about the relief and recovery effort from Haiti. And then we're going to have a brief word about today's Tribune headline. It's easy to say to doctors and nurses to love. This is a text. And while doctors and nurses have that characteristic by choosing their career initially, years of abuse will dull any enthusiasm. Look around the work. They work in a toxic environment. They are humans first. The system needs to be strategically revamped. Let's show love to the nurses and doctors now. I think a couple of days ago, that would have been on Friday, I had an opening where I pointed out that it appeared as if the police is on go slow for like 30 years straight, right? And I got a response from an audience member that was like, hey, I'm not sure if I heard you correctly. I just want to make sure you're not bashing the police. You know, because in my experience, they is beyond it. And I explained to the audience member that I wasn't bashing the police. I was pointing out that when we force people to do their job without the proper resources, and you know, as a supervisor or a boss, that they don't have them, and they know that you know and still expect them to produce the same quality product, that their frustration will build. And that we cannot continue to expect people to perform without the tools they need to perform. And I think this also applies to the nurses and doctors. Yes, if you decided to become a nurse or a doctor in the Bahamas, you knew exactly what you were signing up for. But that doesn't mean that you cannot hope or demand better. It does not mean you can't go to work every day expecting better because your patients require better for their survival. And so, yes, Texter, let's also show love to the nurses and the doctors. Like my good friend, independent thinker, would say, not now, right now. Another text. Please don't make excuses for Luby George. He is only for the Haitian agenda. Ah, oh my. I don't know if I have a month of shows where we could go into this, but sometimes you got to be able to see the nuances. You got to be able to see behind the corner. The shadow casts a light past the rock. Sometimes you got to be able to see the nuances to understand the why. Another text. Hi, why DeWitt sending his own text? LOL, just joking, DeWitt. Don't call right back. I like your contribution on all shows. Good morning, Aaron. Two things. The caller named 52 spoke months ago about the COVID booster shot. He was scoffed at. Now look at the revelation today. Second, Minister Wells may not be well-liked, but he really should really not be blamed for what the hospital administrators did. You see, that's an interesting point because I don't think Wells put the names on the list himself. I don't think he recommended the names himself, but he should have gone through the list of names to ensure, to be a final stop gap, right? And to ensure that there's no impropriety. Nothing that looks untoward even. He should have known because he should have seen the list. And that is what it means when they say the buck stops here. That's what it means. Anyway, you hear that music. We're going to another break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to close the show out with a bit more of what's in the news. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio.
Make it count this time. Census 2021 for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rocks are 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
Always on the go. Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Aaron Green on Tuesday, the 17th of August. So I want to share with you some information from Rotary Club, Rotary District 7020, Haiti Earthquake Disaster Recovery Funds. And the fund is managed by Rotary's DNA-RAG Rotarian Action Group. Right? And so you can go to www.dna-rag.com or you can go to www.7020.org for more information. You can email rotary7020relief gmail.com for further information also. But Rotary has set up a fund to receive contributions for the Haiti earthquake disaster recovery. I see we got a caller on the line, Arlington. Let's go to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin Green.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm perplexed. First of all, I saw Renwick Brown Nose Wells lost for words. He said no comment yesterday, a couple days ago.
Finally. He finally learned how to say it.
Finally.
L-O-Y, I'm happy.
Did you notice Renny talking? Everything turned brown. The eyes turned brown, hair turned brown. I call him Mr. Brown, Mr. Brown Noser. I mean, he does curry service. He does what he does, but he does. But I like how President Biden, he's speaking resolute yesterday, resolute. Mm-hmm. That's called the resolute death. He says, I am the president. It's my decision. He made it. That's what leaders do. Prime ministers, president, speak. The cabinet got to make a decision. Cabinet works for you.
Yep.
I don't know when your mother was on PS. Then they change them every year or two, right?
Yeah.
January 1st, he said, which PS going well? Which minister going well? That was his powers. He had the power to run this country. Not the cabinet of the Bahamas. Cabinet, he controls the cabinet. He's there at his pleasure.
That's a particular political culture that exists. I don't know if that's the best one for us, though.
But I heard. What is his name for the makeup? Holiness, when he won last couple months ago,
uh-huh.
He told his ministers, I saw him on TV, if I catch you wasting the people money, or see them, I would fire you on the spot.
Yeah, but any cabinet minister could get up and say that, you know. Any cabinet minister could get up and look at the prime minister and say, and if we catch you doing the same thing, we can fire you on the spot,
but
sir.
But that wouldn't be in his good favor. He could disappoint you in a few minutes. to be the prime minister, you must have the respect of all your men.
Right, and as soon as you lose it, as soon as you lose the respect of all your men and women, and they formalize it in a letter, you too could no longer be prime minister.
That's what they call it. You have to be politically astute. Penny never lost it. Ingram had a grasp of his members, like he grasped the baby, walked in the room, nobody speaks.
You see, that's a particular political culture that's not necessarily dictated by the Constitution. But look here.
12 men can't run the country at the same time. 12 cooks can't cook the same stew.
Yeah, man, they can. They could run a country. They just can't run a plantation. And that's the difference. 12 men and women could run a country, but 12 men or women can't run.
Who could be in charge? Who could say... I had to follow
in a country, the citizens, hold on, see, in a country, the citizens are in charge. On a plantation, it's the overseer that's in charge.
Like in a house, some husbands let their wife be in charge. It's a child lock, daddy. I could go out to my boyfriend, ask him mom. Some fathers I'll take the power to their wife. Some man run the house. No, nobody goes out tonight. You see, but we have a prime minister. I don't think he's that eyes. We could busy call him Dr. Menace. Do you know Haiti? Do Prime Minister is a brain surgeon? They wouldn't dare call him a doctor. He's a prime minister now, right?
I hear you. But I wanna move away from this style of governance because it sounds to me like you perpetuate
chaos. Because of chaos. Every minister got a prime minister. That is called A bunch of mess. Every minister cannot be their own minister.
I see. Okay. I'm gonna let you go there.
One boss, one captain for ship.
No. You sounding like that by you say one leader. I don't like that. Mm-mm, I get cut you. I don't like that talk about one leader. You sound like my mother. My mother say 12 mango, one leader. I don't like them talk, sir. Plus, we gotta shift that political culture because on a plantation, only one man could be the boss. and the overseer. But in a country, it's actually the citizens who are in charge, right? But you're right. One minister can't be his own prime minister. Boy, 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 that's really interesting. Hello, I do believe I enjoyed that there. But listen, I got a few minutes before we wrap up. And there are a couple things I wanted to touch on quickly. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a guest to talk about the statement by Jeffrey Lloyd about schools reopening. I didn't see anything in the paper per se today. I think maybe actually I did. But I think it was clarified that the minister, Jeff Lloyd, Minister of Education, was not referring to COVID vaccines when he referenced mandatory vaccinations to enter school this year. He was talking to the normal vaccine schedule outside of the COVID vaccine. I'm superstitious, though, so I hope that Lloyd hasn't contracted the Aguilar disease, and that'll turn out at a later date to not be true. But tomorrow we're going to discuss with some parents, some of their concerns about the opening of the new school year. I think that's very important. Also, we're talking about a bit about Haiti. I just want to throw this in there to water and sewage. Now that we had this 7.2 earthquake in Haiti, I'd like to hear a formal statement from water and sewage as to whether increased seismic or earthquake activity in the region is negatively impacting your infrastructure, particularly on the eastern foreshore, where we see a lot of work taking place recently. I will say they did fix the leak on East Shirley Street. It ain't leaking no more. And for that, we are very happy. Whoever is calling me on my phone line, call me at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 if it pertains to the show. If it doesn't, keep our business private. Please, and don't call me while I'm on the air. The other thing I wanted to look at, and we got a bit carried away. I'm not sure when I'm going to be able to pick it up, but I'm actually glad I only got a couple of minutes to glide over it right now. Yesterday, we had this conversation about the earthquake in Haiti. And we were talking about sharing information about relief and recovery efforts. And I think the sentiment was raised. A lot of people are like, we could barely help ourselves. How are we going to help Haiti? A lot of people raise some issues. Why we focus on Haitian migrants, they're too bigoty, they're too this, they're too that, and they are the problem. Well, between yesterday's Tribune and today's Tribune, there are two stories. Yesterday's Tribune in the Insight is a story called A Family Holiday Which Turned Into a Bahamian Nightmare, which is, I think, an interview. It recaps an interview with a group of Chinese people of Chinese descent, one gentleman who is a native of, I think, Amsterdam, and another a native of Singapore, who were on vacation in the Bahamas. And it appears they were detained here for months, until they were, as they say in the article, until they were able to get in touch with Mr. Fred Smith. And what they allege happened to them while here in the Bahamas is just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, let me rephrase that. If it weren't the Bahamas, maybe it would be unbelievable. But to be honest with you, I believe it could happen. I'm not certain that it did happen. Like I say, this is just an interview with the individuals that were detained for a very, very long time in the Bahamas. But I believe it could happen. They say they were in the detention center for 2 months. They were here. They were to stay for 30 days. They tried to apply for an extension. It was declined. Then things began to deteriorate as for some reason they were told they could not leave the country either. And as a quote, we found out that we couldn't leave, so we went to the immigration department for an extension 3 more times, and each time they declined without giving us a reason. So we were stuck here for about 5 months in Nassau in limbo. We started to get bored and decided to have a trip to Bimini. They were detained while in waters in Bimini. And then it appears they spent at least 2 months in the detention center. I'm going to stick a pin there. That is insight in yesterday's Tribune. And then on the headline of today's Tribune, boys deported despite order. And I'm going to just read a quick excerpt as I'm ending the show. The boys are about 6 years old and were deported to Haiti even after an immigration officer at LPIA was given an injunction order from Supreme Court Justice Cheryl Grant Thompson indicating they must not be deported. And these six-year-olds were in the landmark case recently ruled that if one parent is Bahamian, then you is a Bahamian. That's two wow stories that I can't say are unbelievable because I believe it. And I know plenty of y'all believe it too. So, we got to end the conversation here. But let's end it with this. I don't think there's any need to question why we have and we need migration advocacy and migration advocates. Particularly Haitian migrant advocacy. I implore you to take a look at those two stories and ask yourself what is happening in this country. All right, two quick texts before we go. Hi, we need Jeff to come back and publicly clarify his statement. I agree with you. And that's an easy thing to do. It's an easy thing to do. You just come back and clarify what it is you meant to say. Another text. Good afternoon, Miss Green. Great show as usual. Blessings. Praying for Haiti. Yes, let us continue to pray for Haiti and let us continue to engage in small acts of kindness and small acts of economic support. Even a dollar will help. Even a dollar will help. Thank you very much, Texter. Text says, I'm going to end it right here. That ruling isn't what's in the Constitution. That's an interesting position, I guess. The judges said that they are only interpreting what is in the Constitution. The Act is only interpreting what's in the Constitution, too. It's very interesting. That's why it's so important for your systems of government to work properly. Anyway, that's that music. It's time to go. And the seat is going to be filled with Unleashed and Levon Miller at the 11 o'clock hour. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM and have a great day, Bahamas.